Sure. My name is Dr. Jonathan Nauzer. My kiddos that I see typically call me Dr. John or Dr. Nauzer. It really doesn't bother me either way. I am what is called a pediatric / child psychologist at the SEMO Autism Center there at Southeast Missouri State University. And my role within that institution is to provide comprehensive and thorough evidence-based autism evaluations. I've been at the SEMO Autism Center since early spring of 2025, and there has been a good amount of changes for the better since that time within our program.
Ah, that's a wonderful introduction.
Thank you.
First of all, welcome in. Welcome to the studio. So first off, I think I'd love to know a little bit more about the age group that you work with the most. From my understanding, you kind of graduate through different programs at the Autism Center with different specialists for each age group.
We can, absolutely, yes. So the earliest that we see at the Autism Center is starting at age 2. And a lot of people think that is very, very young to even be considering or evaluating for something for autism spectrum disorder. But the thing is that because of fairly recent advancements in assessment and understanding as far as how a neurodivergent child differs from that of a neurotypical child, we have early warning signs that thankfully several pediatricians throughout our community are well familiar with and screening for, to the point of being able to refer to us. And around those ages, between 2 to 5, they are engaged with our in-house pediatrician who specializes in autism treatment as well as assessment herself. And that includes a thorough interview with the family, with the caregivers, whether they be parents, grandparents, foster parents, what have you. We do a thorough interview with the family, and we assess for things as far as like developmental milestones. Is my child walking on time? Is my child speaking on time? Are they meeting these milestones within a reasonable timetable? And look for other different signs as far as how a child problem solves at their young age, the little problems that they do have, as well as how they indicate their needs, wants, reactions to change, reactions to different sensory exposures, as well as things along the lines of how do they transition from one activity to the other? How do they interpret things like affection and a whole other list of variety of signs? Now, once they are past that age, if a child is being referred to us, typically above the age of 5, that's when they are passed through a more comprehensive and thorough assessment. The assessment that is provided for our younger kiddos, as provided by our pediatrician and our speech pathologist, is still very thorough, but the picture becomes more and more complex as the child gets older. So because of that increasing complexity with age, that's where the center feels that more and more sets of eyes belong on each individual kiddo that is referred to our center for services. So psychology, my area or my discipline, comes into the focus starting around the age of 5, and we evaluate all the way up to the age of 17. This is another recent change that we have proposed and fully integrated within our autism center. Previously, we stopped, I think it was around the ages of even like pre-adolescence, pre-teen, 12, 11, somewhere in there. But we have successfully increased our age ranges for the breadth of the population that we're equipped to assess. Within those older populations, that's where psychology comes into play. Speech pathology is also at play, as well as our behavioral health counselor and also our pediatrician as well for really, really complex cases. So it is a lengthy process, to be fully transparent, but it's lengthy for a purpose. It's not just for the sake of killing time. It's for the sake that we want to take our time with each of these kids and to be sure whenever we hand down a positive or negative diagnosis. Whenever you're dealing with the types of diagnoses that we typically see on a daily basis, they are lifelong diagnoses, right? And we never want to give such a heavy diagnosis without a fruitful amount of evidence pointing in that direction.
Right.
Or, and say, for instance, if they don't. Say, for instance, if they do not meet criteria. Nevertheless, we are a center that wants to be able to provide comprehensive care to our communities, so we be sure to recommend or point these families in the right direction. If it's not us, we will get them to the right people and the right resources.
That's wonderful. I was also hoping you could tell me a little bit more about your summer programming that many people might not be aware of. Do you get a lot more from that extra time with these kids during the summer when you're not competing with school and other extracurricular activities?
I'd say, yeah, that's definitely the case, Ella. Whenever things really slow down in the summer as far as other kids' responsibilities and obligations, as far as school or what have you, really the only thing that we have to compete with during that time is summer vacations.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not surprising. Sometimes we lose that competition. You know, at times that's understandable. But yeah, we definitely do see an influx of kiddos during the summer. The tricky part is, because of it being summer, some of the data that we collect and use to justify our diagnoses is collected from collaborative resources, specifically teachers. Because whenever you get down and think of it, first of all, autism does not restrict itself to one environment versus the other. It's going to be present
right.
in all environments and possibly expressed differently in each of those environments, but nevertheless, still present. And for us to be able to provide the evidence necessary to justify that level of diagnosis, the other environment where a child spends the majority of their time throughout the day outside of the home typically is school. And so during the summer months, it's a little tricky with us. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's not impossible by any means, but the difficulty is slightly elevated whenever we don't have that access to teachers or school counselors or what have you. So we almost have to get creative as far as like other family members or other caregivers that have closely monitored, closely observed, closely taken care of those same kiddos, or even down to religious group leaders, camp counselors, babysitters, XYZ. So there's a variety of resources that we can get data from. It's just always more convenient and probably a little bit more in depth whenever it comes from a school educator during the regular school months.
Interesting. I would also be very interested in hearing about, when we are here during school, about your student engagement program. I understand that you employ Communication Center students.
You're right on the money, Ella. So I'm glad you brought this up, because this is an area of which we are really trying to increase our engagement with the student body within SEMO. So we are able to offer practicum experiences to those students who are engaged in communication disorder majors. We are definitely wanting to be able to mentor those kids. I'm so used to saying kiddos.
Right.
Mentor those young adults within the college population. We're so interested in teaching them what we know and really setting them up for great opportunities later in their career, so that they can really, really show off that they've had their hands-on experience within a very specific and very high-in-need population. We also offer student experiences for some college students that are pursuing behavioral analysis degrees. And typically what happens there is that I know that they require a certain number of supervised hours for their program. So what we try to offer is just one site in which they can gain those hours and, again, have very, very good experience and hands-on experience with that same population. And that can come through a variety of different,
mm-hmm.
as far as being directly supervised by what is called an ABA therapist, a licensed and professional behavioral analysis therapist. That is the gold standard treatment for children on the autism spectrum. They are able to offer those supervisory experiences. And on my side of things, with psychology, I'm currently in talks with a couple of different psychological departments, specifically there within the SEMO University, and we're wanting to get more communication going and really start a dialogue with some other surrounding universities within the region, such as Three Rivers College out of Poplar Bluff, Missouri, as well as even Southern Illinois University out of Carbondale, Illinois.
Mm.
So we're really, really trying to grow as the institution as a whole, but while at the same time still facilitating education and hopefully retaining a lot of local talent, because, again, with the level of experience and the types of experiences that the SEMO Autism Center offers from a student perspective is just something to be valued. And I think we offer quite a variety of different experiences and diversity of experiences that would set people up greatly for those kinds of careers in the future.
Right. And in honing that local talent, you keep more community here, because these people have been here, if not their whole lives, for at least 4 years and kind of built their lives up here.
Right. We want to. That is definitely our goal. We definitely want to retain the local talent. For example, so I'm originally from this area. I mean, I've been in Poplar Bluff, Missouri. That's my hometown,
mm-hmm.
For a long, long time. And I went off to school, did the whole college thing, and then for some reason, I'm a glutton for punishment, and I decided to pursue graduate school and eventually my PhD in counseling psychology at West Virginia University. And I always knew it, the end game was to bring back my skill set to my hometown area, or at least as close to as possible. And I was able to do that. I was able to achieve that dream, and I think I've made minimal impacts here and there, but I just want to keep going. I you know, I'm still young in my career, and I'm still wanting to make as much of an impact as possible by, again, keeping that local talent local. And I think I'm not the only one with that local passion. I don't think I'm the only one who's hungry to bring back those services to this area. So our goal at the FEMA Autism Center is hopefully to find similar-minded individuals to hopefully retain them. But we also understand that if this is not where you want to plant your feet, no harm, no foul. Is it a great treat for us whenever they do? Absolutely. But if we can even participate and contribute to someone's education and training, that's a real reward for us.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Absolutely, Ellie. Thank you for the opportunity.